All right, Mark, is she ready?
All right, Carol. I think all the guests are ready. Yes.
Push the button.
Push the button. Did you press the button?
I'm pushing the button.
The following presentation is for mature audiences only. Yeah, it is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord,
present,
Carol the Cat,
here,
the Giddy Geeker,
future,
and Tiffany the Technician,
here.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of whipping, wobbling, tiny-whiny.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Hi-yo! Episode 167! And the UNCC Guild is back!
Woo!
Yay! Yo! We were just here. Hey. There's a million of you. Why don't we go around the table?
Hi, I'm Josh.
Alright.
Sarah.
Marcus.
Ben.
Jamilia.
Woo!
A.K.A. Millie.
In case you're playing at home.
That's right.
Alright!
We're ready.
Should we start with the geekery, or...?
Where are we? Yes. Oh, we're starting with the...
Well, unfortunately, because of the way Carol's making us do this now,
rest
it's all
peace,
her fault.
Section.
Oh, come on. It was depressing.
Don't choke her. It's okay.
Gotta get sad first and then...
We just gotta get it out of the way because...
It's like, you have to get sad first and then get the
good stuff. Don't make me rest in peace. Come on.
But unfortunately, this week, last week we lost Cornelius Fudge, a.k.a. Robert Hardy.
He was also in All Creatures Great and Small.
Yes,
with Peter Davison. It was awesome.
I love that series.
So he will be missed. Also, Godzilla fans.
No.
Haru Nakajima, who was the original guy in the suit.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
88 years old. So.
Yeah, he was 88 years old, but he was the original guy in the suit.
In six of them?
Yeah, he was
first
in like the first
or?
Five or six of them. But, yeah. He, and actually, if you read anything about him, he was a very interesting guy, and there was not a whole lot of respect for suit, what they called suit actors in Japan at that point. But we have kaiju because of him, so.
This is true.
We appreciate him. And then for music fans, especially older music fans, Glenn Campbell passed away, unfortunately, a couple days ago. He was suffering from Alzheimer's, but he was 81. But he was more than just a musician. He also hosted several talk shows. He also was an actor. Pretty seminal in the 70s, and if you knew him at all, he was probably everywhere.
So, goodbye, Rhinestone Cowboy.
Rhinestone Cowboy. Wichita lineman, still on the line.
And our friend Errol Collins just aired a conversation he had with him and his wife, I believe. So
right.
Check or his daughter. So check it out. Yeah. So
yeah.
Errol Collins.
So
yeah.
We moment of silence for all of them.
Sure.
And going right into the RIP, Adam West, who passed away earlier this year, it was announced that his final Batman performance finally got a release date.
Was this an animated, I'm assuming?
Yeah, it's animated, so the...
they made him put on the tights again?
I remember seeing a commercial for that like a while back though on YouTube.
Yeah, and so Return of the Caped Crusader is the one last year, and what they did is they... AMC played it. It was like one of those Fathom events. So I actually got to see it in the theater with Davey, and you can check out our review there. Shameless plug. But this is the sequel, and it has William Shatner as Two-Face.
Oh, that just sounds awesome.
So it's going to be pretty epic. And I thought this was the release date. It's actually the release date for the Best Buy release of the DVD and Blu-ray. So they might... Fathom has not announced if they're going to do an in theater. I can't imagine they won't because it was actually it was full when I went to see it, so I can't imagine.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it'll be in October, so pretty good timing, I think.
And then for the rest of the news, it's Netflix, and Netflix.
Netflix. Who likes Netflix active. Here? Everybody,
I would like Netflix if they released anime earlier. Then 7 months after they get the license.
For that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say. I don't know. I really have Netflix and cable.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
But
I think everybody's been touched by Netflix.
Yeah. Oh my.
They don't have those dolls on
Netflix.
Not yet.
Dang, it's gonna make that joke.
Right in the feels.
But so David Letterman.
I'm thrilled. So David Letterman, they just announced yesterday, I think it was, that he is going to come back and do 6 episodes of an undetermined show in 2018. They're going to start filming it in the fall, and he's going to be out from behind the desk and doing like field reports and interviews, and I can't wait to see what he comes up with, because he's been kind of loony lately. I cannot wait to see. Yeah, he's got the beard like that's longer than mine, so I have to really try to catch up to him.
I think it's more of the chin.
The chin extends.
No, it's not little. No.
And then the Miller World.
This is the guy that has created all the comics of these now turning into great movies like Wanted and
I cannot wait for the second movie.
He created all these things, and so what Netflix did is said, you've got all these comic books and they keep being turned into movies, we're going to buy everything you do and option all the film rights. So they kind of bought their own little universe, basically, because he already has a backlog of, I don't know, like 12 comic books, miniseries, so they've got at least 12 films they can do right off
the bat.
Didn't
he also do wasn't he the guy who did Sin City, right?
No, that's Frank Miller.
Wrong Miller, my bad.
Different Miller spelling. So.
Yeah, this is an AR.
It's kind of interesting that they announced the comic acquisition, and then Disney turned around and said...
It was like 2 hours later. Yeah. I was like, what? This makes sense now, what Netflix is doing.
Comics are now the biggest hit since probably, say, 70 years ago?
Yeah.
When they first started?
It's kind of the new Westerns, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Yeah. Is that pretty
fair? So to finish the statement,
Disney said, we appreciate you, Netflix. In 2 years, we're starting our own streaming service.
I'm surprised they didn't start that previously.
The weird thing about this is, because of the deal that they made with the TV shows, so Daredevil and all those, those are staying on Netflix because they were co-created by them. Mm-hmm, okay. But like all the Disney stuff that Disney owns already, it's gone.
Their stock went down like 4%. Star Wars, or is Star Wars going to still be
staying? They own that, and they own all the Marvel, so it's a serious blow to Netflix because it's a lot... And the scarier thing, I think, is...
What about the Defenders and all that mess?
No, the TV shows
The TV
will
shows.
Stay.
Anything that's Marvel related, because that is exactly. already in...
Well, my question...
Those are already co-created
My question
by
is,
Netflix,
does that mean Netflix is not going to create any more shows for the Marvel Universe?
Stuff.
I doubt it.
That's so sad. Because
they're going to have their own... Yeah. Well,
I guess I'll just watch Luke Cage 20 times over.
Good for you, Netflix, getting Frank Castle while you could.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Because they're doing a great job with it. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah, well, I think that's exactly what's happening in the movie world and TV is changing. I mean, you know, Disney has properties like ABC, and they're just not if you look at the numbers for this year, the highest rated shows would be failures 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, their numbers would not even compare. But the more that they deregulate and diversify, I mean, there's just nothing left.
And I think it's smart on Disney. Well, I think it's kind of a dick move on Disney's part, but still kind of smart for them to get their own streaming service, so that way they're not having to, you know, like
share the profit
mm-hmm. with Netflix. Because I don't know how Netflix really charges creators, but it's certainly more profitable for people subscribing to yours, which might be cheaper than Netflix, which Netflix is now $10.
More
is it?
But
it's
$10. But here's the deal. So most people. I mean, for us, we pay for it. We don't have cable.
Mm-hmm.
Got rid of that. We have Netflix, Amazon Prime, Sling, and Hulu. So, and now CBS wants to have their own app so that you buy their Star Trek series. And then you've got BritBox to get all of the British stuff. And then you've got Disney. I mean, after a while, it's $10 here, $10 there, $10 the next place.
Cable's actually going to end up cheaper.
Yeah.
Cable can be the cheaper option. Strangely enough.
It's this full circle.
If somewhere in the future there's going to be a bundle for something like Netflix, Hulu, all this for one price, it will be the new cable.
We would call it cable, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what Sling TV is doing now, because a lot of that, if you get a Roku, a lot of that stuff is accessible on there.
Mm-hmm.
So at least you're still you're buying the machine from them, and then eventually it'll probably be a fee to have Roku to be able to access all that stuff.
My prediction is it's going to get even more micro. It's going to be, I want to pay $2 for half a season of Defenders.
Oh, no, please no.
I really think it'll eventually be like that where you bundle it together, because otherwise it's way too expensive.
I mean, actually see that happening.
I mean,
you've got YouTube Red now. I mean, everybody's coming out with their own content. Everybody's coming YouTube out with Red. Their own thing. And the problem is that's a great idea if you have enough content and property already.
Right.
But how are you going to get that new up-and-comer? How are they going to get any notoriety? Because they're not going to be able to compete against something else. I mean, it's just going to become a behemoth.
So I think I think it's really weird. I think Netflix is actually kind of, they're gobbling up these things now, knowing that Disney can go away. If Warner Brothers were to pull, that'd be of the DC universe that's completely gone.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, and also, DC has their own app that they're coming out with, and the Teen Titans is only going to be on the app.
Which Teen Titans?
It's going to be the Marvel.
Is that the live action?
Yeah, it's going to be live action.
If Warner Bros. Just keeps doing more DC animated series and
those
animated
are fantastic,
movies,
aren't they?
Yeah, they will never go out of business.
Yeah, if they just made animated and not live action.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the old studio system. But it reminds me of MGM used to have a contract with a star for 10, 20 years and own that star. I think it could be like that again.
Oh,
where it's
you
like,
are ours.
And on the anime side of things.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wait, so you mean Marvel doesn't own Robert Downey Jr. already?
They're keeping him alive with that suit. I don't know.
And on the anime side of things, we have apps like Crunchyroll, Hulu, and
Funimation.
And Funimation. Yeah. Which, honestly, is helping the anime industry, because people always talk about, oh, these anime people, they won't watch this, they won't buy the show, they'll just pirate it. Now we have legal, at least somewhat cheap options to watch the shows that we like. And with Funimation and Crunchyroll actually partnering together, it's made things a lot more, made shows a lot more accessible, especially newly aired things that we want to see. And I think
classic stuff too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what most streaming services could benefit from, is just doing hey, we partnered together. You can get some stuff on this thing, like our new show X or whatever. Right. But you can get some other stuff that we put out over here too.
Yeah. Okay. Although the only thing I have to stipulate with that is that I'm still ticked off that Crunchyroll does not have the dub of Cowboy Bebop yet.
Well, but see, part of that could be that they're trying. It could be something we don't know what.
Right. Well, actually, there's a new app called Verve, which is a partnership between Crunchyroll, Funimation, and a couple other companies. I think Rooster Teeth is also part of Verve too, where it is basically cable, where you pay for the content creators you want. Like, you sign packages and deals, and you get the membership to those places.
Doesn't Twitch do that? Like, you're subscribed to certain channels.
Yeah.
$2 for you, I'm subscribed to you.
Yeah.
$5 for you.
Yeah, that's how subscription works.
Kind of like
the future
almost
of the
Patreon.
World.
Yeah.
Patreon too.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Whew. Yeah. All right.
So,
wake up, Ben. That's all right.
Speaking of how to
find... We'll get geekier, Ben.
It's 4 a.m., sorry.
Speaking of how to find all the things, don't forget we have the community calendar on CharlotteGeeks.com. So if you're looking for fun things in the area, they're not all Charlotte Geek events. Anybody can go on and submit an event. It won't go up immediately. I do go through and make sure all the links are working. There's not any missing information. But I do try to put them up there within a couple hours. So if you're looking for fun things to do in Charlotte, don't forget that's on there. Carol,
can I
talk about Twin Peaks?
Yeah, but first I want to shout out Ayersley Grand Cinema, which is one of the rare independent...
They didn't put it on the community calendar. Don't talk about it.
I haven't written it on there yet. I can put it on there. They announce their retro horror lineup every October. They do weekly retro horrors. It's $5 per movie, and they're doing double features. One triple feature, because the first week is Dracula, Frankenstein, and the Wolfman.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And that is the 1930s version.
Yeah, good ones.
The second week is Nightmare on Elm Street and Scream.
I'll be there.
Third weekend is Christine and Friday the 13th.
Yeah, sure.
Christine will be there.
The originals, yes.
Good.
These are all the original movies. The fourth week is Pet Sematary and Serpent in the Rainbow.
No.
I want to go see that.
And the last week is Carrie and The Shining. They always do The Shining.
I also want to go see Carrie.
That's fine.
Yeah, well, so...
Pets don't interrogate me nightmares.
That's why we're going. So
you mark your calendars, and I'll put it on the community calendar, but Ayersley Grand Retro Horror in October.
Woohoo.
I love that.
And September, too, right?
So, yes, Twin Peaks. We're up to episode 13 of Twin Peaks, and I'm sorry.
How many more?
Earmuffs.
We've got five more.
Five more, wow.
He's got a lot of ground to kind of figure out before he ends this one, but I don't think he's going to answer.
Lynch.
Yeah, I know, he's not going to answer all the questions. He's going to leave a whole lot of it unexplained. It's David Lynch. But we finally got Audrey and Big Ed. So all of the old characters are the ones that are living are back. Even some of the ones that aren't living anymore are still back. Because we've got Major Briggs, and he's been dead for close to 15 years. But this is really good. I think this is really incredible television, and I love the fact that they're just letting him do whatever the fuck he wants. And I think this is probably the last thing David Lynch is going to do, and then he's going to retire and create art. And... So enjoy it while you can, because I don't think he's going to make anything else after this besides his strange art.
Well, I did quite enjoy the little short film he did, which was a series of paintings called Six Men Getting Sick.
Oh, yeah.
And that was quite interesting.
That's on my research. That was one of the first things he ever did. I think he was still in college when he did that one.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah. So, and Matt, you went and got to see Dark Tower.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see. I did see a movie called
Dark Tower.
That makes me sound sad because I like Idris Elba.
Me too.
He was the reason to go to the movie. Honestly, this was a PG-13 version of the sort of the Gunslinger and sort of 1% of all the other movies,
all the other books,
they kind of stole from, which was kind of odd. The best I can describe it is it's Stephen King light, which should never be attempted. But Idris Elba was great. I would give it a C for just a person that walked in and knew nothing about Stephen King at all or didn't read any of these books. I'd probably give it a D or D minus for people who have read all these books or even half of them because it's such a disappointment. And Stephen King has said he hopes that they'll do it if they get to make another one. That they go R, which...
Well, I would think that they should do a mini-series. So. They should do an HBO series or something like that. This is seven books.
Yeah.
It's
wow.
not...
They're talking about it, and I think that it's just... You have more room to breathe.
Yeah.
You can't do these things justice.
This is a 90-minute movie.
Yeah. You really could stretch it out and just do... You could do the movies right, but you would need to do probably like 30 of them. right?
Oh, no.
I mean, maybe.
I mean,
yeah.
This is not The Stand we're talking about here.
It's a lot of books.
It's a lot. It's deep. It gets really... And it crosses over into a whole bunch of Stephen King territory. But,
but
I haven't seen it just because I was hearing bad things. And I'm like, I can wait a little.
The question I have, do you think they're going to try to do... Because I read it in an article, and of course the internet's not going to lie to me. do you think they're going to try to do like a Stephen King multiverse? Because that seems to be the new rage. Like everybody's got their own shared universe now.
Like the Mummy.
Always had a shared universe.
That's what the Dark Tower kind of is. But I will say there are little nods
cameos,
in the movie of the different universes. It's still not enough. It really is just like a Stephen King light thing. And poor Matthew McConaughey. He's a good actor, but he had nothing to do other than to like. Act like he was deflecting glass, and he was he had nothing to do. He looked really
thin and menacing.
Yeah, he looked cool in black, but that's about it. They didn't give him anything to work with.
With
it's
his southern
his fault,
accent,
but yeah, he just had nothing to work with. But anyway, yeah. So go see it or wait till it comes out on cable, I guess.
Probably watch it on airplane.
Redbox it. Yeah.
And Tiffany.
Yeah.
You wanted to talk about Landline. Tell us about that.
Oh yeah.
So Landline is like a independent film. It stars John Turturro, Edie Falco, Jenny Slate, and I can't remember the name of the other actress, but it's essentially a small story that takes place in the 90s. So for all of us people who love nostalgia about the 90s, we will enjoy good music, you know, good vibe, and essentially it's a story about two sisters who find basically some writings that their father did on their computer. And they believe that he might be having an affair. So Jenny Slate plays the older sister, and she's engaged and doesn't live at home anymore. And the younger sister is still in high school, and she's kind of wild and does heroin and stuff like that.
Whoa.
Kind of
wild.
Yeah.
It's a bit too wild.
What's really wild?
She does it a couple times.
That's wild for me.
But basically, their sort of quest to figure out whether their father is having an affair brings these two sisters together. And that's kind of the crux of the story, is these two sisters discovering what they have in common and their relationship with each other. And it really is a cute movie. I mean, I didn't, like, love it, but I would give it a solid B. You know, good chemistry between the characters and the actress's name, I can't remember, the high school student. She's really fantastic.
Cool.
And then you can't ever lose when you have Edie Falco.
She's amazing, yeah.
Definitely. So.
That gives me hope. I thought it was going to be, like, that phone booth movie. So this was like the last landline, and it's some guy trying to figure out how to do the rotary phone. Yeah. I was like, this is terrifying!
Just that reference, you know, reference to it being the 90s. So. Yeah.
Sorry. Cool. Sounds
and
really good.
And then you and Carol, of course, catch us up on Game of Thrones here.
Yeah.
Yes. So, awesome battle episode 4 of the season. And, of course, we're almost done with the season because there's only, like...
Two more?
Maybe.
There's three more left. Three more left of this season. There's 7 this season and 6 next season. Moving things very quickly along. Armies are moving.
Very quickly along.
Yeah. Armies are kind of teleporting across the land. and people are complaining about that, but it's like months are taking place between weeks here, so don't...
Oh.
You have to understand, filming people walking and walking and
walking. Yeah, it's not really... You know, filming Jon Snow on a boat for 6 months isn't really going to do anything.
What? We're not having Jon Snow simulator?
Unless you're Peter Jackson.
Unless you're Peter Jackson.
That could be its own streaming service, really, right? Just watching Jon Snow.
But we got to see the dragons actually take out an army, or one of the dragons take out an army, because it was just...
Wow.
One, just decimating the Lannister army.
Wonderful.
And Jaime going all Leroy Jenkins, trying to kill the dragon by himself, and failing miserably.
Oh.
Correct.
Roll
one.
Yeah. Yes.
Basically. Really good, you know, really good scene where you're on the edge of your seat. I mean, I was like moving all over my living room, like, oh my God, what's gonna happen? And I think the thing that was really interesting about that scene, you know, first of all, we're bringing together characters that have never shared the screen before. Oh. Huge principal characters that are now sort of meeting each other. But the thing that I thought was really interesting is Tyrion, who is the brother of Jaime Lannister, he's a Lannister, he now, you know, is the hand of
Daenerys Targaryen.
I never considered her name.
Oh.
Daenerys, and, you know, he was kind of standing back watching this battle happen, and of course, the person she's primarily kind of going after is his brother, and he's such a good actor, because to see... this sort of unspoken conflict on this man's face as he accepts that he is on the side that he's on, but like to see the legacy of his family destroyed basically like that, and his brother to be in danger is really, really, really interesting.
Peter Dinklage is just a great actor.
He really is. He's really a great actor.
He really is.
On a happy note, well, kind of happy. I mean, they're so different. The Stark children are all back at Winterfell.
Except for Jon.
Who's, you know, hanging out in the caves. Arya finally made it back to Winterfell. Had a reunion with Sansa and a reunion with Bran. The Stark children are all very odd right now.
It's really, really very bittersweet because you know, they were pulled apart so quickly in the series, and you just, like, wanted so badly for this family to come back together, and you've lost so many family members of this family, and so to kind of see all but Jon back together again is like, and for that to realize they've been through so much, they're not the same people. If there was no war to be had, that they couldn't just live there together and be happy. It's just not realistic.
Not gonna happen.
It's kind of disappointing, but I do live for the moment that Arya and Jon
get together. Yeah, because that's gonna be your happy reunion.
Yeah.
You know, Arya and Sansa never really got along, so to think that they're gonna go, sister, no, they're not gonna do that. And of course, Bran's now this three-eyed raven, and is barely Bran anymore anyway.
Yeah.
You know, reuniting with him is just like, yeah, he's in his...
It's about as exciting as, you know, watching golf.
Yeah, basically. So, but it was nice to see, you know, the three living Stark kids back at Winterfell.
So I look forward to that. I look forward to that reunion, and I look forward to John finding out that he's a Targaryen and hopefully not getting with his aunt.
I really hope they don't do that. I really hope they don't do that.
On the scheme of the show, that is a very safe way.
Yeah.
But
that's
really
not,
good episode, though.
Yeah, very good episode. So looking forward to next week.
Yeah. So, Matt, you did some reading. You read a couple comic books.
Oh, yeah. I'll just go real quick. So my friend and a guest who's been on the show before, Ericles Petmaza, Herc, as you all know him, released a shorts, a collection of his stories. This is the cover. I'm showing people here. People at home cannot see this. but they're little short stories he did right after he graduated from this Savannah School of Design. And the best thing for me is in the first page, there's a picture of him with really long hair, and he looks like the Matt Damon out of Singles. I never saw that movie. No, but these are really cool stories, and they're about, he's a vegan, and they have all these crazy stories about his...
In every panel, does he mention he's a vegan?
No.
But if you go to Bean Vegan Cuisine on Independence Boulevard,
oh,
they have
gosh.
A Herc Bowl. Which
named
is named
after
Herc, him.
Actually, yeah. He worked there for a while, and he's a frequent person that eats there. But a lot of the stories, he had a little dog called Mr. Munchie, who was a pug who passed away. But that's his sidekick, and just really loving little stories. And he has great expressions. That's what I like about his art. But anyway, catch him at Charlotte Comic Con coming up on the 20th, I think it is. Yeah. Woohoo! And then I read an Image book called We Stand on Guard, which, $14. This thing came out hardback. I could not resist. Sorry.
Definitely.
Had to go to Amazon for that. But basically the premise is in the year 2100, the White House is struck by a drone, and the United States blames Canada, so they bomb the shit out of Canada.
Blame Canada!
And then they go on, and they find out the real reason is that basically the Midwest has turned into the Great Dust Bowl again, so they need water. So they're going for Canada for water.
Huh.
But it's this crazy ass story.
Did I see a mech leg?
Yeah. It's very mechy. Everything's.
Huh.
So it's people trying to fight these big mechs.
Oh, wow.
And,
these big Canadian mechs.
Yeah, the art is...
I'm so sorry, eh?
Some little hats on them.
I'm doing show and tell. It's not very good for
the podcast.
They
play lots of hockey.
But the guy who was responsible for designing all of the Matrix movies, Steve Scrooge, who used to do X-Men, the comic book, he did this, and it's just beautiful. And then Brian Vaughn, who's written Saga and a bunch of other awesome stuff. So check it out. Like $14 on Amazon.
Nice.
Or good Rebel Base, Heroes, all those great places. Anyway, yeah. Woohoo!
Yay! All right. Well, since you mentioned that, do you want to mention just a couple things? And I'll go quick. But if you want to come and meet us, we're going to be over at Queen City Anime Con this weekend. That's Sunday. That's going to be over at the University Hilton. It's only $6 to get in. It's going to be very cool. So first year con, put on by some former UNCC students. So definitely come and check it out. We'll have a table over there. And then the following weekend up in Concord, we'll be at Charlotte Comic Con. Also, two other cool cons that you can check out. CleverCon, which is heavy metal meets geekery. It's going to be October 8th. It's featuring Something Clever, who's been on this podcast and will also be performing at the music tent at Muggles Market this year.
Right.
Kelly Flusk and Adam Nelson and that group, and they're awesome. This is actually the second year of CleverCon, so make sure you go and check that out.
Yeah.
And another first year con that's happening is called CryptoCon. It's going to be October 1st. And we actually hope to be having them on the podcast soon. So check that out. That's a little bit more if you're into that.
UFOs and cryptology.
Yeah,
and the Mothman.
More of the skeptics
is
track.
Mothman
so.
Be there?
they're working on getting him as a guest. So
awesome.
Yeah.
I prefer the Jersey Devil.
So Carol, you wanted to talk about The Expanse?
Going on with the other thing I wanted to talk about, I've been dealing with this huge writer's block. I get them occasionally. What's weird about this one is it turned into a reader's block as well, where I could not finish a book. And for anyone who knows me,
that's
knows
crazy.
That that's weird.
Yeah.
very, very weird. This has gone on for like 3 months now. Which is why I haven't been talking about book reviews on the podcast, because I haven't finished any of them yet. But I did actually, I think, break through, and I wrote a short story and a roast of a friend, which I will be doing this Sunday, and finally finished a fucking book called The Vegetarian, oddly, which is actually really good. But if you ever deal with writer's block, I've never had it morph into reader's block as well. I don't know if that's a common thing or what, but if you have any ideas on how to get over it, God, throw them my way, because man, this one was...
I'm stuck between two books. I'm stuck in the middle of the first Dresden book, and in the Patrick Rothfuss, Name of the Wind. I'm stuck in the middle of that as well.
I'm stuck halfway into Eddie Izzard's memoir, and I freaking love Eddie Izzard, and it's not like it's not good.
A bad place to be stuck, though.
I know. I wouldn't mind being stuck.
I mean, you
stuck
get to start real well.
So if you have any hints, you know, throw them up on the Facebook page.
I figure it out.
I always go back, and if I'm having trouble trying to find a new book to read, I always go back and try and read like some old short stories or things like that. Or an old author like A. Lee Martinez. I'm rereading through Gil's All Fright Diner, which is sort of like this comedy sort of thing.
That is actually
supernatural.
Really, I loved Gil's All. Yeah, that's an awesome book. I tried going back and reading The Hobbit, and I only got to the second chapter. I mean, seriously, I've read that book 30 times. So anyway,
we didn't get you the Latin version.
That's right. I still have not received the Latin version.
We've been asking for 2 years, people.
That's right.
Step it up.
Do you want my spare one?
You have a Latin one? I have about 7 different copies of The Hobbit. One of them is in, what is it? I think it's in Danish.
Read Danish?
No, I don't read Danish. I just picked it up because it was
another
copy of The Hobbit.
Because it was pretty.
It was pretty.
That's my weak point. Is like they recently showed like at like the Japanese versions of a certain fantasy novel I read. I can't remember the name right now, but forgive me. But it's like they had like these full like occasionally full like page and illustrated inserts. And I was like, I can't read Japanese. What do all these kanji mean? I just want the book so I can stare at it.
So once I finished reading The Vegetarian, I actually went on a book buying spree, thinking maybe this will help.
That always helps.
And I picked up Leviathan Wakes, which and the name of the author. It's actually two authors that write this under a pseudonym, and that's the basis of The Expanse. So I haven't started Leviathan Wakes yet, and I'm probably spoiling it for myself by watching The Expanse. But I realized The Expanse was on, the first season of The Expanse was on Amazon Prime. So I started watching it and just became completely hooked. It's very similar to Battlestar Galactica, the new one. It's very political. It's very kind of gritty. Thomas Jane stars as a detective. It's set in like the 23rd century where we've actually colonized the solar system. And you have Earth as one government and Mars as another government. And then the Belters, which are in the asteroid belt, and mine ice. Because Mars needs ice, because they don't have water.
Women.
And I guess this was before they discovered there's actually water on Mars.
Yeah, I think so. But it's like the Belters are like your miners. But it's actually very interesting and it's very political. And I really I'm enjoying the show. So I recommend The Expanse if you want some kind of hardcore science fiction. It is a sci-fi show, but there's cursing in it.
Oh, I'm
so. Speaking of cursing, you should probably be careful of a chicken attack, huh, Joey?
Yeah. Well, just to wrap things up, if you're looking for something fun and short to watch, there's two great videos that are currently trending very hard. The first one is called Chicken Attack, and it's by the Gregory Brothers. And if you have a Amazon Echo, you can go to Alexa and ask her to play Chicken Attack, and she actually will. Much to the chagrin of my boss at work. Chicken Attack is a interesting little Japanese man dressed in German lederhosen yodeling with a chicken in his arms, and the chicken turns into a bad
ninja.
Unskilled ninja.
In a chicken costume.
That somehow kind of like The Room or Ninja Samurai Cop is able to defeat people with very bad ninja skills. So it's about 4 minutes long. It's hilarious. If you get the right version, you need to watch it all the way, the video all the way to the end. Where you find out strange things like Kanye's going to be starting a yodeling album next year and releasing
a yodeling album.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Yeah, so it's just, it's very well done. It's very funny. Millions of views already, and it will get stuck in your head. So Chicken Attack's a good one. And another great one is Guardians of the Galaxy is actually out on Blu-ray, and we'll be having some free swag from them over at Charlotte Comic Con in 2 weeks, so make sure to check that out. To celebrate it, they actually released a David Hasselhoff music video of the Inferno at the end, and you need to watch closely because Sean and James Gunn and Zoe Saldana and many of the actors
Dave Bautista and cute little angel wings.
Yeah. What I don't understand is who's the Casey and the Sunshine Band keyboardist?
I think that's Chris Pratt.
No, it's not.
That's not?
No, because he's the alien.
Is it Mary Poppins?
He's the robot.
It's not Michael Rooker.
It's not Michael Rooker. Unless Chris did it twice. But you definitely need to go and check it out. There is a lot of fun to be had, and I've watched it a couple times as well. So check out those two videos. We have shared both of them on the Charlotte Geeks page. Just look for the Guardians of the Galaxy Geekery post about Guardians of the Galaxy. There's just a little bit of it. It's everything that you want. Please don't sue us. And we are promoting your movie, but go and buy the Blu-ray if you haven't already. So it just seems like a lot of fun, and it's a good time. But without further ado, Carol.
Let me push the button, and then I'll figure out who this is.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery.
Come on.
For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com.
Oh, yeah. By the way, look at this.
Look for him on the Facebook already.
And on Twitter, at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Gilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.
No more out of you.